and welcome to the latest international podcast from the School of Health and Life Sciences. My name is Gordon Hill and I'm the Assistant Head for International in the School, and I'm joined today by Dylan Ademir, who is a PhD student undertaking a physiotherapy PhD. So Dylan, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about your background and what brings you to Glasgow Caledonian University?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me at first. So it's nice to be here. My name is Dylan. I'm a first year PhD student at the School of Health and Life Sciences at GCU. I studied undergrad and master degree in Turkey. My clinical background is physiotherapy and rehabilitation. So after the graduation, I specialized in pelvic health field. I worked with gynecologists, urologists, and proctologists for 6 years in Istanbul, Turkey. Out of that, I enjoy hiking, walking, reading, yoga, dancing, and also taking pictures by DSLR camera.
Wow.
Yeah, Scotland.
Do you have any spare time at all?
Yeah, I have. So Scotland is a fabulous place to do most of them.
And have you done much hiking in Scotland?
Yeah, I went several places like Perthshire and near the Loch Lomond, like Balloch and Luss, Balmaha.
Yeah, good pronunciation. You're even getting the sounds from Balloch. Yes,
Balloch. Yeah, Loch. Yeah.
I think one of the attractions I think of Scotland is that those places are really quite near to the big cities, aren't they? It doesn't take long to get to these nice places to do walking.
Yeah. Especially, I lived in Istanbul, so it's like a megacity and over 16 million population there. So I was living in European continent and I was working in Asian continent. So I was traveling every day from European continent to Asian continent. It took like 1 hour every day during the week. So it's nothing for me to travel here.
Yeah, no, and it's that always blows my mind that, you know, that you can go from Europe to Asia just in the same city. Great. And how long have you been in Scotland for now?
It's been 8 months.
8 months, okay, yeah. Cool. And do you stay in Glasgow?
Yeah, I live in Glasgow. Excellent. Yeah, one of the university accommodation.
Okay, excellent. Okay. And can you tell us a bit more about your PhD, please?
Of course. My PhD research focuses on endometriosis-associated pelvic pain. So imagine a pain so debilitating and spreads through every aspect of your life and robbing you of joy and productivity. That's like a reality of millions of women worldwide and 1.5 million women in UK.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really huge. So for those who don't know or who are curious about what endometriosis is, it's a disease, it's a chronic disease where the tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside of the uterus. So it may cause pain and infertility, and pain may be persistent even the removal of the visible disease. So my PhD research focuses on that point, the effects of physiotherapy interventions on that persistent pelvic pain patients. Now I'm at the scoping review stage.
Okay.
According to the knowledge gap, we will design and conduct a clinical research after that.
Okay. And do you have a research question overall in mind, or is that part of the scoping review?
It's part of the scoping review for now. It's like we are searching conservative treatments effects on that people in any outcomes, like depression and pain and quality of life. For physiotherapy interventions, after that, we will look about like a multimodal or unimodal interventions are effective, or what the knowledge gap is on that field. So the research questions for the main project, I think we will reshape it later.
Yeah, these things always evolve as your PhD progresses, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's something that's quite poorly diagnosed as well, isn't it, endometriosis? It takes sometimes a while for a diagnosis to be given.
Yeah, it's on average, it's 8 years. And in Scotland, it's eight and a half years.
For diagnosis?
For diagnosis,
wow,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, that's a kind of poor beginning, you know, in terms of being able to have any sort of interventions or any sort of treatment.
Yeah, and after the diagnosis, they wait for the interventions such as physiotherapy interventions and psychology interventions for a long time.
How about in Turkey? What's the situation in terms of diagnosis and treatment there?
So in terms of diagnosis, there is not any data for now. But for treatments, the health system is different from UK in Turkey. So we don't need to go GP at first before going to gynecologist.
Okay.
And yeah, private health also so common in Turkey. That's why treatments doesn't take too much time.
Okay.
But for diagnosis, yeah, I don't know for now.
And is it, excuse my ignorance, but is there a public health system in Turkey or is it all private?
No, there is public health and private health, but both of them so common so people can easily reach the health system and treatments.
So can you tell us a bit about physiotherapy in Turkey, please?
Physiotherapy in Turkey is a well-developed and widely practiced profession. We need to study for 4 years to get a bachelor's degree, and after the graduation, we decide whether or not specialize. The fields of specialization are quite diverse, like ranging from orthopedic rehabilitation to neurologic and support, also pelvic floor rehabilitation and many others. Turkish physical therapists are well trained, both academically and clinically.
And you did your bachelor's and your master's in Turkey, is that correct?
Yeah, both of them in Turkey.
Okay. And I have to say, your English is incredible. Did you learn English in high school, or how did you learn English?
Yeah, I mostly learned in English high school, but the teaching system in English when I was in high school, like just teach the grammar.
Okay.
And when I was studying undergrad, I was awarded Erasmus program. So
okay.
I went to Poland.
Wow.
For 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I studied there. I improved my English there. After going back to Turkey, I just worked on my English, watching series and movies, listening English music. And here, also, I'm here for 8 months. And at the beginning, it wasn't like that. But now I think I feel improved myself in English. Yeah,
that's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And
how
did you find the Scottish accent when you first came here?
Yeah, it's the funniest part. Yeah. Also, it was I think most challenging part for me. Yeah, before coming here, I was watching Outlander series.
Okay.
Yeah. So it reflects Scottish rural areas and Scottish accent as well. So I was familiar a bit, but here in Glaswegian accent, it's totally different. I was feeling like it's a different language.
Okay.
Yeah, it was hard to pick at the beginning, but now I think I can understand 80% of that.
Okay.
At the university, it's not a problem. So most of the academics have clear accent, but for strong Glaswegian accent, it's still hard. Yeah.
Okay. And have you picked up any Scottish? Have you found yourself saying we instead of little or anything like that?
Yeah. I say we it and I.
you're assimilated
to
Scottish
I
culture.
I also learned some Scottish words, like they don't use lake, they use loch.
Loch, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of mountain, they use ban. Yeah. So Ben Lomond is actually Lomond Mountain.
That's right,
yeah.
So, and a lot of that is Gaelic, it starts from the Gaelic, and lots of it is just Scots words. And I guess one of the things that I've heard some international students say that, you know, in such a small distance, the dialect in Scotland can be really, really different, you know, as well. So from here to Dundee or to Aberdeen, the accents are so different as well. But it's good that you're learning a little bit of Scots as well. Yeah. And no doubt when you go home, you'll say we or I, and people will say, what does that mean? Marvellous. Do you have any questions for me, Dylan?
Yeah, so for the international students, if they want to apply here to study, what type of scholarships or financial support do you offer for them?
Okay, thank you. I mean, I guess the first thing, and probably for most of the questions, the website's the best place to go for any of this information, or to follow us on our social media channels, because there's lots of information that comes up there. But certainly for full-time undergraduate students, there's a new 2GCU scholarship which gives a discount on some of the fees. There's also an early payment discount if you can pay the fees in full. Also, in terms of if students then go on, international students or any students go on to study further, there's also loyalty discounts, and there's lots of posters up, and I don't know if you've seen them around the university just now, but if someone undertakes a programme here and then go on to full masters, then you can get a discount for that.
That's really nice.
One of the things I'm really passionate about, I'm actually on the board of directors for the Welcoming Charity in Edinburgh, which is a charity that supports refugees and asylum seekers. And there's also an asylum seeker scholarship at GCU, which I think is really, really important to support new Scots as well. We also have travel and research scholarships, as well as subject-specific scholarships. So again, if people want to have a look on the website, some of the individual programmes have, I think a lot of them have been when people have given money to the university for specific programmes, that there's scholarships there to support students. I think in general, GCU has had recognition for, in comparison to other universities, being really good value for money. So there are lots of scholarships that are available. Another one is for postgraduate students. There's the Ambassador Scholarship. So that can pay your fees for a full year if you become an ambassador. And as part of that, you then help to support other students. You're asked to help out with of advertising, or there's a programme called Unibuddy where applicants can ask questions about the university, and the ambassadors help with that, or they help with tours and things around the university as well. So that's another one to look out for. But there are a number of scholarships that are offered to all students, but also some that are offered to international students as well. But as I say, the best thing is just to Google GCU scholarships and see which ones are available and what the criteria are for those.
Oh, that's really amazing to hear that, especially for ambassador scholarships. They can just into the local community and help the people, and also at the same time have a scholarship. So it's really amazing.
So obviously you've gone from Turkey to Glasgow. So how did that happen? How did that opportunity arise?
Actually, I can say that for my research interest led me to come to GCU. While I was studying master, I decided to further my education and pursue a PhD. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do this abroad, and I began searching for scholarships. And I was awarded one provided by my government, so I'm an externally funded student here. Since I wanted to study in English-speaking country, I chose the UK and started looking for a supervisor for my PhD studies in pelvic health field. I sent my research proposal to one of my supervisors here. Since we had similar research interest, she accepted being my supervisor, and I applied to GCU. Then here I am. Both supervisors at GCU are very supportive and very helpful in terms of academic and personal development. I feel very lucky on that way. Additionally, GCU ranks in first place in Scotland and second in UK in physiotherapy subjects. So that's the advantage things for me. So I am glad to be here. I have a question, another question for you too. For the international students, what support services do you provide to adjust the university life?
Oh, good question, good question. Because, I mean, you've already said about, you know, some of the things about about the language and the dialect in Glasgow. I mean, obviously, we have an induction. We also have an international student induction. But we also have a number of other things. My colleague, Dr. Karen Thompson, also led the development of a Scottish culture module. I'm not sure if that's something that you've seen, but they, certainly for all our international undergraduate and postgraduate students, they are sent information about the Scottish culture module, and it really tells a little bit about Scotland. About lochs and about, I don't know if there's something about bends, but certainly there'll be, I'm sure there's information there about the Scottish countryside, and also a bit about Glasgow as well, because I think some of the things that are exciting, but also maybe make people a little bit nervous, are about, yeah, actually what's the country like. So Karen developed, along with colleagues, this module to help to introduce Scotland to new students. So that's something that they can certainly access. There's information in GCU Go, which helps to support students through their academic journey. Well, we have, I forget how many, but we've got lots of societies, from sports to individual countries. The Nigerian Society is a big society at GCU. There are lots of things that students can get involved in and interact with other students. We also have a project called PALS, which is the Peer Assisted Learning Support, where students can either volunteer or access support from other students. And I think what they do is they set up WhatsApp group, and then they can ask students, other students, questions. And I think there's also senior PALS, so people who've been here for a little bit longer, that can help to support other students. When you're, I mean, I guess in a PhD sense, you've got your supervisors, so I guess they are your personal tutor as such. But all other students are assigned a personal tutor, and your personal tutor may be someone who's actually providing a module or leading a module that you're working on. But the support is more pastoral, it's more general support. So your personal tutor can help you with more general queries that you have as well. The Students Association is fantastic, and there's lots of resources there. And I would also say that each of the schools has a learning development centre. So for any new students who are coming to GCU, have a look at the Learning Development Centre resources, because there's lots of things that they can do to help you, from things like referencing and so forth, to help you to fit into the academic side of things.
Yeah, I find it definitely beneficial, especially for induction week. I joined the induction week, and it's really good way to build network and engaging program, also meet the lecturers.
Yes.
And also there are some mobile applications, I think GCU Welcome and GCU Student applications, so students may get help from there too.
And I think that one of the things with the kind of technological side of things is there's so many resources on the website or on social media, and as I say, the social media channels are fantastic. The GCU students, I think, is one of the ones, and there's lots of information there about, you know, freshers, fairs, and the things that are available from those. And it's a really good way to meet other students and get involved in different things at the university as well, because I think it is a real community. So it's a great way of being able to get involved and feel like you belong, and this is your university, which we're really keen on developing for all our students, especially for international students.
Also, GCU Student Life social media accounts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I follow that accounts, and I try to join as many events as possible to just get involved the local community and local culture. It's a really good way to do that. Also, you mentioned about Learning Development Center. So Learning Development Center and Academic Writing Center, that's really good places to get support for our studies, for academic writing, preparing presentations, or also for managing references. There are many events, so following them and joining them make it easier to just adapting process and study process.
Yeah. Because I think obviously most universities are very, very similar, but every university does things slightly differently, you know, and it could be just, you know, being more familiar with the academic writing style or how different universities use references, I think can be really, really important. So absolutely, the Learning Development Centre is great for learning those kind of things. Did you go on any of the excursions that they take students to, like the Kelpies or to Edinburgh or to up into the Highlands and things? Did you do any of those trips when you first started?
Yeah, I did that with GCU Student Life team. So yeah. I went to Blackness Castle, Linlithgow Palace. Mm. And also in Perthshire, Tickham Palace, and also we just joined the Perthshire Hermitage Trail.
Okay.
Yeah, they were really nice.
Yeah. And was the weather okay?
So for that, okay, I read something. I think on one of the social media accounts, so there is a word like there is not bad weather. There is inappropriate dress not go out. So yeah, if your dress is appropriate for the weather, yeah, it's okay.
I think the big thing in Scotland is layers, you know, so if in the rare occasions where it is really nice and sunny and warm, you can, you know, take some layers off. But yeah, the weather can change very quickly.
Yeah, it's unpredictable.
So just in terms of your time here, are you working at all, or you said you've got lots of hobbies that you're obviously pursuing, but are you working at all while you're here?
No, I'm not for now, because GCU offers PhD students to take modules from Master of Research program at no additional cost for now. And if you take 4 modules, you can receive a postgraduate certificate in research methods. So if you don't want to get that certificate and just support to your studies, you can choose the modules up to your necessities. So I had taken 4 modules from this program to both support my studies and also obtain a postgraduate certificate.
Excellent.
I was quite busy. So also as an international student, I feel like to education at once, one of them university education and the second of them the adaptation to live in new country and new culture, also new language and accent as well. Hopefully I can easily adapt to change. Therefore, I can say that my adaptation process has been relatively smooth. But even so, I choose not to work. However, now I have completed modules, I would like to work as a research assistant or teaching assistant if such opportunities arise. And it would contribute to my academic career as well.
And do you see yourself working in academia later in your career?
I want to be a clinical researcher after the PhD. And I want to just move further, like a postdoctorate process. I will see in the future after the PhD.
And is your plan to go back to Turkey when you finish your programme, or are you going to stay here for a while?
I want to just get a postdoctorate first, then, I want to go back.
Okay. Yeah. Marvelous. We've kind of touched on this a little bit anyway, but I'll ask the question. And what was your first impression? What was it like just arriving in Glasgow, as a new student? What was that process like? How did it feel?
A good question. So when I arrived in Glasgow, the city was very welcoming. People are so helpful and kind-hearted here. So also I love the nature of Scotland. It was a little bit challenging at first because adapting process takes time. But the important thing is how to manage it. As we mentioned about joining induction week and orientation week, also support from my family, friends, and my supervisors helped me adjust quickly. So for academic, for my academic development and for my studies, Learning Development Center and Academic Writing Center offer many opportunity to improve my works. That's why, yeah, it was really good.
Excellent.
I have another question. So can you provide information about internship or work opportunities for international students during or after their studies?
Thank you for that. I think one of the big things about a lot of the programs that are offered at GCU is how we're very proud of this, as well as how the programs make people what we call work ready, you know, so that they're ready for employment or further study as soon as they finish. And one of the ways that we do that is that a lot of the programs either have integrated clinical or industry placements. So in physiotherapy and my own backgrounds in nursing, you know, there's clinical placements that all the students will undertake, that, so that there's the academic components of the programme, but also the clinical components, so that people can register as healthcare professionals at the end of the programme. But equally, some of the other schools, there are industry placements or that the students undertake as part of the programme. Others, there's relationships that GCU has with potential employers, and we can facilitate discussions between students and potential employers so that students can organise unpaid experiences that they can have. Students, they can also independently engage with other organisations. Some of our students have also done some actually international experiences with companies like Work the World or Challenges Abroad, and I think those can be really enriching. And some of the programmes, those can be used as actually one of the clinical placements for their programme. But what I would say, again, it seems to be something that I'm saying a lot, is to check the website. There's the Career Service, and they have information about career opportunities, but also volunteering opportunities that students can have. And again, the social media channels. The Career Service can help with, you can make an appointment with them. They can help you with CV writing, with preparing for working. They offer guidance, and they also we can also organise, and generally the programmes will organise careers events with potential employers as well. So towards the end of the programme, there may be opportunities for you to meet with potential employers. There's also the hashtag employability at GCU that would be good for students to have a look at. But one of the things that we're really proud of is, I think from the latest figures in last year in 2023, 91% of our students are either in employment or in further study within 15 months. So I think that really emphasises the fact that the students are finishing the programmes and then are either ready for going to work in their chosen area or go on to further study. And I think that's very, very high across the higher education.
That's impressive rate, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, as I say, it reflects the practical and the job-focused nature of the programmes that are offered at GCU.
That's really nice to hear that, yeah.
Excellent. Back to you. So the next question's got two parts. What's the best thing about being an international student, either here or at, you know, at GCU or generally, and what's the most challenging thing that do you think?
So I like exploring new things, new countries and new cultures. That's why I think the best thing is experiencing different cultures and gaining new perspectives. Additionally, participating in various academic and social activities is a great advantage to build network, and it's still like part of being international students. For challenging things, for me, one of them is language and accent barrier here, because I'm not native speaker, so sometimes I think translate from Turkish to English.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the process will take time. For me, one of them that was that. And the second thing is the weather.
Okay.
the most of the person I talked before coming here, they were saying like it's cold, it's raining every day, so my expectations were so low.
Okay.
Yeah, and when I came here, even in winter, I was able to see blue sky and sunlight at least 2 to 3 days. So that's why I was happy. Yeah, I'm still happy with the weather because my expectations were low. But for the new students, I can say that be prepared for accent and weather.
Yeah,
before coming here.
I think that's very fair, and I think I guess the perhaps don't have the extremes of weather that other parts of the world do, but yeah, it can be wet and it can be cold.
Yeah,
and it sometimes can be wet and cold at the same time. But everyone's always very happy when the sun comes out, even if it's just for half an hour.
And I grew up in Mediterranean region in Turkey, so the temperature is very high there. So it's like 40 degrees in June. For this time of the summer. That's why probably it's a bit challenging for me, but it may not be for every person.
Yeah. Can I ask, one of the things that the international students, you know, as part of the process, is that it helps to kind of develop their confidence, because obviously it takes a lot for, you know, to go to a different country, especially but there's a different language. You know, do you think you've generally become more confident in the process?
Yeah, I can say that if the person knows their strength and weakness and work on them, they can just get over from that. So it's important, I think, to know them and work on them. And don't afraid, be brave, I can say that. Yeah.
I know, it's fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, your experiences of, you know, going to Poland for 6 months and coming to study in Scotland, I think it's fantastic. And it says a lot about you and you know, it's, congratulations for everything so far. And I'm sure you'll do very, very well in your PhD.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I guess we've touched on this a bit, but is there any other advice that you would give to international students?
I strongly recommend to get help from Visa and Accommodation Office, because they reply so quick, the emails, and they are really helpful. Also, take support from the Learning Development Center. Follow the GCU Student Life social media accounts so they can orientate easily. Also, I think the important thing is, no matter how intense the studies may be, try to maintain a study and life balance.
Yes.
And be sure to stay active for both physical and mental health. As a physio, I strongly recommend that. Yeah.
And generally, Scotland's it's a very easy place to walk, and you know, in the city centre, it's, you know, there's no, you don't need a car or anything. The public transport systems are very, very good as well. So I think that's a good way to keep active. But of course, unless you want to do hill walking or yoga and other things as well.
It's a really good place for walking. So one of my other questions to you, what kind of community projects do you have to help international students engage with the local community?
Thank you. So I guess we have a number of those. A lot of those perhaps would be either accessed through the careers service. I mentioned that there's volunteering opportunities or via the students' association and student societies. So I think some of the programmes, they will have some specific community engagement programmes. I noticed recently on the website that the event planning, marketing and management module, their students are encouraged or as part of the module, they have a community engagement project, and they actually raised more than £1,400 for Kilbride Hospice. So that was a great way of integrating, you know, the studies with a worthwhile endeavour. We were very proud to say that GCU is the university for the common good, for the common weal in Scots, and I think that hopefully is kind of integrated into lots of the things that we do. And I think that There's also a GCE community working together in partnership. There's information about that on the website. But there's lots of volunteering opportunities. So even if there isn't a way of and undertaking these kind of experiences as part of your programme, there's lots of volunteering opportunities in Scotland. So I would strongly advise and encourage all international students to really try to undertake some of these volunteering projects, because not only will it help to overcome and familiarise people with some of the dialect issues that we've touched on, but I think it's obviously in and of themselves they're really important things to do. So yes, there are lots of opportunities that are available. So I would say to have a look at the Students Association website and the Careers website would be the best places to look.
Oh, okay. That's really nice.
Marvellous. So, one final question from me.
Okay.
So, one of the things that I like to do is to think about the next student I'm going to be interviewing or will be interviewed as part of this series. So, what question do you think I should ask the next student in this series?
Yeah, that's a good question. It can be like, what tip can you give new students? Mm-hmm. Also, what are the benefits of joining societies of the Students Association? Or how do you manage your study and life balance? Or one of the question can be, which support do you get from GCU, such as well-being or academic support?
Thank you very much. And you were saying about that work-life balance. I guess one of the things with undertaking a PhD is the programme, other than the modules you might undertake, is not as kind of structured. So personally, how do you manage that? Are you quite disciplined and say, you know, this is study time and then this is, you know, relaxation time? Or how do you manage that yourself?
Yeah, I am disciplined for that.
Okay.
So it's like a routine. So to come as a PhD student, we have office.
Yeah.
So during the week, I come office like from 9 to 5. And after the office, it's like a relaxation time for me, for walking and doing yoga. And also I take break during the weekend. Mm. So I can travel to the other cities, like Edinburgh. It's so close to here, like 1 hour away from Glasgow, and I explore the Glasgow and the other places. So I can try to keep the balance, work and life balance, in that way. But if there is deadlines, so I can just, I think, increase my study times, hours.
Deadlines can be useful just to make sure that you go. Yeah, but I think I remember when I was doing, I mean, I did my doctorate part-time, but when I had time off to work on it, then I think that discipline and almost treating it like a job in itself, you know, so you're dedicating work time and then other time for relaxation, because sometimes, I don't know if you find this, but when I was working on my doctorate, I started to do more running and things, and actually, the time away from sitting in front of the computer can be just as important, because things will pop into your head and, you know, so I don't know if you find that when you're out hill walking that you think, oh, that's a good idea. My problem was trying to remember it by the time I got back to the house, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it helps staying active to helps people to be productive as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find it too important. That's why also it's important for our health too, so. It's
well,
really good.
Excellent. So on that note, I just want to say thank you very much again, Dylan. It's been really informative, and I'm sure that the new and prospective and students will find that really, really interesting and informative. So thank you very much again.
I thank you for having me here.
Not at all.